Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Tuesday, the 21st of February, 2023. It is spring primary election day. Glad to have you along on this special day. Along with Mr. Aaron Zomers, our producer engineer. Happy to have him along as well. Mr. Zomers, we are talking. Neither one of us have voted yet this morning.
That is true. I didn't do it early because for me, my polling place is the community center of my apartment complex. So I just go outside, walk down a couple buildings, and there we go.
There you go. Similarly for me, not really in my building, but only about 2-3 blocks from my building is where I vote. So when I get off the show here at 11 o'clock, I will be making my way back over to the polling place and casting my ballot in the spring primary election. Big day, important day. We've been telling you about it, not only on this show, but across Civic Media for the last couple, 3 months plus. And today is the day. So you want to get out and vote. The polling places are open until 8 p.m. tonight. Couple of important things to remember. Remember, you do have to have a photo ID. So make sure you take along either a valid Wisconsin driver's license or ID card. Also, a valid United States passport will also work. So take one of those two things along with you to your polling place. Also remember, Wisconsin is a state where you can register at the polls. So if you have not registered prior to today, no problem. Just make sure you take along those photo IDs, as I said. Also, try to take along a utility bill that has your name on it for at least a month or two past. So an electric bill, a water bill, that sort of thing. Take that along to prove your voting location. So take those two things along. You can register at the polls today and then cast your ballot. Of course, the big race that we're watching today is for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. The race pitting two progressives and two conservatives on the ballot. Four people on the ballot. Very important to remember, you only vote for one person on that contest. Some confusion there because we've been telling people the top two vote getters today will advance to the April general election, which is true. But perhaps there was some confusion of how many people you're supposed to vote for today in the Supreme Court race. The answer is one. It's going to be either Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Everett Mitchell, Dan Kelly, or Jennifer Doro. Those are the four candidates, and so make sure you only vote for one of those four people. Also, we have races we'll be covering for you later on tonight during our special Civic Media News primary coverage night. It begins with an extended Devil's Advocate program with Crudy and Dom. They'll be on the air from 6 until 7, and then very excited, we have a very special prime time edition of As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Medinger. They will be on the air for the 7 to 8 o'clock hour tonight with all kinds of kind of a pregame show, if you will. And then from 8 until 11 tonight, Terry Bell, our Civic Media News director and anchor, will be on the air. I'll be joining him at the anchor desk, and we will have people from across the state covering several different elections for you tonight. Not the least of which, here in the city of Madison, we have a three-way race for mayor. We will whittle that down to two, or the voters will, and we shall report on it, is a better way to put it. And then also a Racine mayor's race we'll be keeping track of as well. Outagamie County Executive Race, Green Bay Mayor's Race, also the 8th State Senate seat in the Milwaukee suburbs. Former State Senator Alberta Darling, Republican, retiring last year, actually resigning. And so there is a special election to fill that race. Only one Democrat, but several Republicans. Again, only vote for one if you're voting in that Republican primary over there in the 8th State Senate District. And we will find out who is the winner later on tonight on that. So other contests across the state, you can join us once again right here starting at 6 o'clock with a special edition of Devil's Advocate. At 7 o'clock, a prime time edition of As Goes Wisconsin. And then from 8 until 11, it'll be Terry Bell and myself here at the Civic Media News anchor desk throughout the night until we have winners for you, until we can tell you who is going to advance to that April general election coming up later on this spring. So that is the one big story. The other big story this morning is weather. predominantly north of Richland Center, but Richland Center will still obviously get some snow. If you're in the Madison area, not so much, but then if we go north, it's really going to get deep, as they say, very quickly. Let's take a look at your forecast this morning from the National Weather Service. First of all, in WRCE land in Richland Center, a winter storm watch in effect from noon until today until 6 p.m. tomorrow. Chance of snow after 4 p.m. today. Not a lot of snow expected today. Maybe a half inch possible tonight. And then tomorrow, 1 to 2 inches possible. Tomorrow night, 1 to 3 inches possible. And then maybe another inch on Thursday. So by the time all is said and done in Richland Center, maybe 7 inches of snow between tonight into Thursday. Moving further north in Wausau, we have winter storm advisory, winter weather advisory in effect from 6 tonight until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. Then a winter storm watch in effect from tomorrow morning through tomorrow night. In Wausau today, little or no accumulation as far as snow. For tonight, maybe about 5 inches of snow in Wausau. 2 inches tomorrow, and then tomorrow night, another 6 inches of snow. So maybe up to a foot, maybe just over a foot of snow in the Wausau area by Thursday. And then where it's really going to hit hard is our friends in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio in Amory. A winter weather advisory in effect today until 6 p.m. and then a winter storm warning now in effect from 6 tonight through 6 o'clock on Thursday. Thursday. And so taking a look, we have maybe 2 inches of snow possible today in Amory, 3 to 5 inches tonight. Tomorrow on Wednesday, another 1 or 2 inches, but then Wednesday night, this other system comes in, 6 to 10 inches on Wednesday night, and then 4 to 8 inches again on Thursday. In Amory, Wisconsin, you may see 25 inches or plus of snow by the time this is all said and done on Thursday. Back with your news headlines after this. This is the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media. Welcome back to the show. It is now 8:15, quarter past the hour on the Todd Allball Show along the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers. Todd Allball here with you for the next 2 hours, 45 minutes or so. Lots of great subjects. Also taking your phone calls as well on a Tuesday morning, primary spring election day. And then coming up at 10:30 this morning, it is Tuesday. And that means unless he is working on the secretive projects around the state, which you never know he might be, but we're expecting Luke Mathers for a little Tuesday tangent session. A host of Dueling Tangents, co-host that is. He'll be in at 10:30. So looking forward.
He's working on something secret right now, but really? I don't think he's going to be going all day or anything.
Okay, all right. He checked in via Twitter earlier. He's apparently already, he's beaten us both to the polls. But what a guy, right? I mean, to have a colleague that reaches out and says, hey, don't forget to vote. That's what you want. That's the kind of person you want to work with, right?
Yeah, I feel like that's everybody here.
Yeah, absolutely. But only Luke, sent me a tweet. but he's absolutely fantastic. So Luke Mathers is going to be along at 10:30 this morning to talk about all things Civic. We'll talk to him about the expanding stations that are Civic Media. It was announced last Friday that Civic Media has purchased stations in Eau Claire, La Crosse, Racine, and I believe another one in Fox Valley. I've lost track a little bit. We're up to like 17, 18 stations now. And it's exciting. It's very, very exciting that we're going to be spreading the airwaves across the state of Wisconsin. And so we'll ask Luke about that coming up at 10:30 as well. Right now, though, it is time for what you need to know across the nation, across the world, and across the state on this 21st of February, 2023. Again, it is spring primary election day. Polls are open in the state of Wisconsin until 8 p.m. tonight. Remember to bring along your valid and official Wisconsin voter ID registration, meaning that you need a Wisconsin valid driver's license or ID card or a valid U.S. passport in order to vote today. If you have not voted, you can register at the polls with one of those forms of ID and something along the lines of a utility bill, like an electric bill or a water bill. Take that with you. You can register at the polls. If you get there right before 8 o'clock, remember, according to Wisconsin state law, if you are in line at 8 o'clock, when the polls close, you are still entitled to cast a ballot. So if you're in line at 8 o'clock, do not leave. Do not be thwarted. Make sure you are still able to cast your vote, because that is the law today. We'll have continuing coverage tonight on Civic Media, beginning with an extended version of The Devil's Advocates at 6 o'clock, a primetime edition of As Goes Wisconsin at 7, and our election night coverage begins at 8 o'clock. Turning now to Ukraine, President Joe Biden met President Vladimir... Try that again, Todd. President Joe Biden met President Vladimir Zelensky yesterday, reiterating U.S. support for Ukraine and announcing new assistance and sanctions against Russia. The highly secretive visit, which took place as air raid sirens could be heard ringing out around Kyiv, comes at a critical moment in the 12-month conflict, with Russia preparing for an expected spring offensive and Ukraine hoping to soon retake territory. In his State of the Nation speech today, Russian President Vladimir Putin doubled down on his war in Ukraine and sought to blame the West for the conflict. Putin also said Russia is suspending its participation in the new START nuclear arms reduction treaty. Under the key nuclear arms control treaty, both the U.S. and Russia are permitted to conduct inspections of each other's weapons sites. But inspections have been halted since 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hold on just a second. How yes. on earth could this be the fault of anyone besides Russia? They were just like, hey, you know what? I kind of think I want Crimea today. I'm just going to walk on down and amass troops outside of it and then say, no, we're just hanging out here. And then, oops, we stepped over the border.
Well, it's not. You're 100% right. I mean, essentially, I didn't see the whole speech. I didn't watch it, but I saw lowlights of it. And essentially, everything that Putin said is a lie. It's untrue. But he has to try to pump up his people in order to make them believe these lies. As you said, Russia is the one that invaded Ukraine. And so, yeah, Putin's just... Seems like a familiar tone. The leader of the country just uses a bunch of lies to pump up his base. I don't know. Seems like a very familiar tone.
Turning to someone he's buddies with, too.
Indeed. Very small hands. Small hands. Turning to weather this morning. Winter storms. Yeah, tell us about it, right? Particularly if you're in Amory and Wausau. A major winter storm is set to impact millions across the U.S. this week, with heavy snow, dangerous winds, possible blizzard conditions, and for some, the coldest temperatures of the season. Snow and rain are already falling across parts of the Pacific Northwest, adding to the region's already blockbuster snow season. Later today, the storm will expand into California and the Great Basin, which could lead to power outages. Meteorologists say the conditions may also cause travel headaches around the country for some of the most densely populated areas in the West. The extreme wintry conditions will also impact the Rocky Mountains and Midwest, where the storms could have its biggest effects. Forecasts show up to 2 feet of snow will be dumped across the Midwest, with a swath of icy weather impacting several other major cities. Turning to the tragedy in Turkey once again, a magnitude 6.3 aftershock struck southern Turkey yesterday, killing 3 people and injuring hundreds of others 2 weeks after a massive quake killed more than 46,000 people. The aftershock caused more buildings to collapse. A volunteer rescue group said reigniting public panic across the region was the result. Search and rescue operations have resumed days after Turkey's Disaster Management Authority said it had concluded most searches due to the unlikely chances of survival for people trapped in the rubble so long after the initial magnitude 7.8 disaster struck on February 6th. Quote, aftershocks become less frequent with time, although they can continue for days, weeks, months, or even years for a very long main shock, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. Back to Ohio today. Ohio Toxin Trade EPA Administrator Michael Regan, the nation's top environmental official, will visit East Palestine, Ohio today amid mounting reports of rashes, headaches, nausea, and other symptoms that residents fear could be related to the February 6th derailment of a train carrying toxic chemicals. Quote, our throats are sore, we're coughing a lot now, said Desiree Walker, a resident living 900 feet from the site of the wreck. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg told reporters yesterday that he also plans to visit the community, quote, when the time is right, unquote, and announced new efforts by his agency to improve rail safety. Meanwhile, residents are criticizing the federal and state response to the wreck, saying more needs to be done to assure residents that the air and water in the town are safe. Crews have checked hundreds of homes and have not detected any dangerous levels of contaminants to date, according to the EPA. Talked about this yesterday. Had a report from CBS News interviewing Aaron Brockovich, the longtime environmentalist activist, saying what it appears now in Ohio, according to reporting there, that the initial responders simply dug a hole in the ground, unlined, put the chemicals in there, and lit them on fire, thinking that was the best way to get rid of them. What may well have happened now is that those chemicals may have already seeped into the aquifer, contaminating the water. And of course, by lighting it on fire, we have all kinds of carcinogens and other things falling out of the atmosphere across the town. We'll see what happens, but certainly a tragic situation there. Also, in response to the criticizing the federal and state response, as I understand it, at last report, the governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, had yet to ask for federal assistance. And so the president is not able to declare an area a national disaster until the governor requests that to be made. Again, that was last report. We'll see what happens. But certainly a tragedy in Ohio. And regardless of what party or anybody else, those poor people need help and need it very quickly. Supreme Court now. The U.S. Supreme Court is set to hear oral arguments this week in two cases that could have a major impact on the internet's future. The outcome of the arguments scheduled for today and Wednesday could determine whether tech platforms and social media companies can be sued for recommending content to their users or for supporting acts of international terrorism by hosting terrorist content. At the heart of the legal battle is Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, a nearly 30-year-old federal law that courts have repeatedly said provides broad protections to tech platforms. However, the law has since come under scrutiny alongside growing criticism of big tech's content moderation decisions. As a result, websites may soon try to manage their legal risk for hosting or promoting content, which means possible sweeping changes on their sites, including Facebook, Wikipedia, and YouTube, to name a few. If you combine Facebook and Wikipedia, you get Facebook. that's what happens there when Todd's eyes go too far ahead. And maybe this is the problem. Maybe it's the problem I'm having trouble reading today. It's Mardi Gras, although I haven't had a thing to drink in a couple of days. New Orleans is getting ready for its famous Mardi Gras party today and tonight. That means parades, beads, dancing, and yes, king cake. All kinds of activities happening down in Mardi Gras. Ever been to New Orleans, Mr. Somers?
Can't say that I have.
Neither have you? I have not. I have wanted to go. I heard it's a spectacle. Heard it's a lot of fun. But no, I've never been.
Let's just swing on down there today and do a pre-record tomorrow's show.
I'm sure our bosses would love that.
Yeah, especially since you already have other obligations to be here tonight.
Skipping out on primary election night coverage. I'll be down to Mardi Gras, guys. Check in with me there. I'm sure that would go over real well. But yes, it is Mardi Gras. I know a lot of the bakeries, even though, you know, Mardi Gras is like a huge, huge thing around here, a lot of bakeries are selling putschkes and king cake and all kinds of traditional Mardi Gras fare. So it is Fat Tuesday. Of course, tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the start of Lent. So today, traditionally, is when you get your drunkenness and debauchery out of the way, and then you ask for forgiveness tomorrow.
Which completely goes, like, justifies the point of it.
But. Exactly. I've never, like I say, my life is void of most debauchery and really, and honestly, not much drunkenness. You know, an occasional glass of a beverage now and again, but it's been years since I've actually been drunk. Years. I just don't have the stamina for it.
That's probably for the best.
I think it is for the best, but
it's not like it's good for you.
I mean, take for instance last night. Here's a story from last night from Todd. Here, just give you a little glimpse inside. So I was working on this election stuff. I was here until probably like, I don't know, 7:38, and I was just tired. And so I got a couple of groceries. I thought, well, I'll meal prep. I'll cook some chicken and some rice, and I'll take that for lunch tomorrow. And I was starving, because I hadn't eaten anything since, I don't know, whatever. And so I had a bowl of cereal, a bowl of Wheaties, and I don't know why, but Wheaties and milk, you know, it just calms me. And I sat down in my chair. I thought, I'll just sit here for a minute. And I fell asleep in my recliner, and I woke up, and I don't know, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, well, that's, I guess that didn't happen. So that's, Aaron's looking at me like, no. Oh, my God, he's really an old man.
No, I'm looking at you like, how do I say this, that I do the exact same thing?
Do you really? Oh, that makes me feel so much better. It's easy to do, right? It's easy to do. And
it
then
is.
And then when I woke up, I was kind of cold and I had a blanket. And I'm like, I just don't want to get up and go to bed. So I slept in my chair the entire night. Yes, there you go. More than you wanted to know about old Toddy. We'll come back and actually talk about real news. We're going to talk about what's happening in Texas and Florida today. All kinds of things. Book banning and trying to steal votes. Kind of. We'll explain in a minute. Stay with us. You're on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now you do what they told you. You do what they told ya. Now you do what they told ya.
What is this?
You do what they told ya.
Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine. I just thought, you know, talking about book burnings and stuff.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I like that. I like that. 8:33 now, time on the temperature sign. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show, along with Mr. Aaron Zommer. Always on the music, always on point there, and ready to rock and roll. Going to talk, yes, a little bit about book burning and banning, and we're also going to talk about votes. But before we get into that, I want to remind you once again, I'm going to continue to do it throughout the day, that today is primary election day. I'm going to go through that in just a minute. Also want to remind you, the other big story in the news is our weather, as a major system is moving into Wisconsin. And what timing, what a great time to bring in our meteorologist, Kara from Weatherology. And Kara, give us the lowdown here. Am I right in reading this forecast that places like Amory may, keyword is may, see 24 inches plus of snow? That's 2
it's
last
crazy,
time I checked,
it?
That's 2 feet.
Yeah, it's like a laughable amount of snow that's like that you're seeing. It's you kind of double check it a couple times, make sure you're seeing it. And yeah, over 3 days.
Wow.
We are looking at a possibility of 15 to 25 inches of snow just in Amory. The other areas might see a little bit less, but still going to be a substantial system, no doubt about it.
So. All right, Kara. Well, let's rely on your expertise here. Let's give us the news, the good, the bad, the ugly, and get our folks prepared for what's ahead.
You got it. Okay, so today I'm going to cover just the kind of gist of it first. We're reaching 18 in Amory today, so not too bad. 31 still in Richland Center, so still going to be warmer down there. And then as we head into Wausau, we're at 22. So it's kind of all over the place right now. There's still quite a bit of a temperature kind of gradient going on.
Mm-hmm.
But Amory is definitely going to be in the kind of the eye of the system. So what we're looking at over there is that right now, mostly cloudy for the most part of the day, partly sunny in the other areas as well, a little bit clearer. Snow does not come in until late this afternoon in all areas. It's going to start off very, very light. Now, we do have a winter weather advisory that will go into effect today for at least Amory and those areas just over the Minnesota border or just by the Minnesota border and into just central Wisconsin. We are looking at a winter weather advisory starting at about 3. That goes until 6 p.m. tomorrow. There is also a winter storm warning for the same amount of time, starting at 3 o'clock, and that actually extends until about 6 p.m. Thursday. So it kind of is overlapping, but that's because there's two parts of this system. So the first half of it starts at 2 p.m. today. Accumulation is just about 1 to 2 inches, just kind of throughout the system. It's going to be very light throughout the state. We can expect essentially the same. As we head into tonight, we will see temperatures kind of hold steady a little bit. We're only dropping to 14 in Amory, 25 in Richland Center, and then about 18 in Wausau. So it's not going to change too much. Fortunately, the temperatures are not going to be like below zero the whole time. So that's at least we got one kind of upside to this system. But the snow showers will pick up a little bit more overnight. We'll see about 3 to 5 inches at least throughout that west central portion of the state. Probably just about 1 to 2 additional inches as we head into the south and eastern portions of the state. Now, as we head into Wednesday, this is where it kind of across the board becomes a little bit more, I guess everywhere is going to be really affected by the second half more so. Going to be more widespread as well. So a winter storm watch does begin for Richland Center at about noon on Wednesday. That continues until about 6 p.m. Thursday evening. And the same thing for Wausau as well. They will see that winter storm watch. It's currently a winter storm watch. I do believe it'll be a winter storm warning. They kind of been waiting to see how intense the winds will be to either make it a blizzard warning or not. But I do believe it'll be a winter storm warning. So essentially Wednesday night, we are expecting the winds to pick up 20 to 25, gusting as high as 40. Snow showers will increase even more. That's going to be the kind of the bulk of the accumulation for sure. Especially in the Amory area, the west central portion, we are looking at about 6 to 10 inches just over Wednesday night. The other areas, more throughout the south and eastern portion, will get 1 to 2 inches. So a little bit lighter, but still on top of the, you know, few inches we've already had, still going to be substantial. And then as we head into Thursday, those winds will continue. North winds 20 to 25, gusting as high as 40 throughout the state. Snow showers also as well. On Thursday, probably an additional 3 to 5 in that Amory and west central portion of the state, and then a little bit less, about probably another 1 to 2 inches for the south and eastern portions, but they'll still have those winds as well. So driving basically from Wednesday night and Thursday is going to be pretty tough. Easier throughout the southern and eastern portions, of course, but if you're in that western or west central portion, definitely going to be almost near blizzard conditions just due to those gusty winds and the heavy snowfall. So do plan ahead for that. You still got most of the day throughout the entirety of the region, really, to kind of prepare for it. You can go get groceries, all that stuff. To kind of break it down, I would say if you're within that west central portion, you got about 3 to 7 inches possible throughout tonight and into tomorrow morning. The second round, you got about 10 to 20 inches on top of that. So it's about 15 to 25 for that area. For the other areas, southern and just a little bit of the north, maybe about 8 to 13 could be possible. But you're still going to get those winds, still see those cooler temperatures. And definitely still a substantial amount of snowfall no matter what. And then I can just tell you throughout the weekend, sunshine and nicer temperatures. So I don't even have to go through that right now. We'll cover that when we get there.
just get us through the next couple of days, right?
Right, exactly. Take it one day at a time. But that's essentially the gist of it. It's a 2-round system. So as long as you can you get your stuff done today, you should be okay. And just kind of hunker down, at least definitely through that west central portion of the state will be hit the hardest for sure. So.
We appreciate you giving us a heads up, Kara, because like you say, in all seriousness, people should go fill up their gas tanks. And if you need some extra milk or whatever, do it now, because you might have a couple of days where roads are going to be less than ideal to be out and about. So you might be snowbound for a couple of days, particularly our friends in Amory and that area. Holy mackerel.
Truly, yeah. I'm also in that kind of the little epicenter of this system, so I'm not too excited for 25 inches. But
no. You know, it's,
at least I work from home.
I guess it's right. I guess it's winter in the upper Midwest. Those things happen from time to time. Well, we appreciate it, Kara. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you tomorrow and see where the storm is at. Then we appreciate all your help.
You got it. I'll catch you then.
All right. Bye bye. That is Kara from Weatherology. Always great, always on point, and great to have her along with us. So, yes, in all seriousness, make sure that you're prepared for what's ahead, particularly for the Amory area. Boy, Amory, maybe 24, 25 inches of snow by the time it's all said and done on Thursday. Sounds like Wausau, maybe a foot or more. And then sounds like Richland Center, maybe 6 to 8 inches on the upper end there. But still, a pretty significant snow event throughout the state of Wisconsin coming up in the next 24 to 48 hours. So be aware of that. We'll continue to update you here on the show in the next few days. It is now 8:40. Again, reminding you that today is the primary spring election day. And I wish we had Matt Flynn here. We don't, because nobody can do it better than him. But let me just run down, just in case you've not been listening and forgot about it, tell you what you're voting on today across the state of Wisconsin. Regardless of where you're at, everybody votes for Wisconsin State Supreme Court in the primary. There are other races in other municipalities that have smaller, might be a school board primary, might be a city council or mayoral primary, but that's going to depend on where you live. But everybody needs to go vote today for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court primary. Here are your choices. There are two conservatives and two progressives on the ticket. You only vote for one. But at the end of the night, when all the votes are tallied tonight, the top two vote getters will move on to the general election. But when you go to the ballot booth today, only vote for one of the following people. On the conservative side, we have former Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly. Dan Kelly, never been elected, was appointed to fill a vacancy by former Republican Governor Scott Walker, was an acolyte of Walker's. And of course, his best buddy, Dan Kelly's best buddy, is former conservative Justice Mike Gabelman. Now, Gabelman is the character who started this kind of snipe hunt to find out whether the 2020 elections were fair or not. He got Robin Voss, the Republican Speaker of the Assembly, to give him taxpayer money to conduct this quote-unquote investigation. Well, they spent over $2 million of our money so far on this investigation, and they've come up with zilch. No evidence that the Wisconsin elections in 2020 were fraudulent or unfair or unjust, whatever you want to use. Everything in the Wisconsin election in 2020 was above board and legal and conducted fairly. So nothing to it. But yet Gabelman spent $2 million of money to get there, and Justice Dan Kelly is one of his closest cohorts and companions, believes that there was something wrong with the 2020 election. So that's Dan Kelly. Then you got on the conservative side, you got Judge Jennifer Doro. Now, she's the judge that oversaw the Waukesha trial for that tragedy that in the Waukesha parade here last year. Guy drove through the crowd and killed people with a car. And this guy got assigned to Jennifer Doro's courtroom. And so Doro's job was to oversee this trial. Now, she and Dan Kelly, the guy I just told you about, they got their law degrees from Pat Robertson University. Now, look, a law degree is a law degree, but certainly Pat Robertson, of course, the guy who runs the 700 Club, the televangelist, he has a university, has a law school. If you think that's the kind of law school that our state Supreme Court justice should have, then vote for one of them. Then you've got Judge Everett Mitchell from Dane County, progressive. Might be a good guy, probably a good circuit court judge, but as Matt Flynn likes to say, this guy has more baggage than the bellhop at the Pfister Hotel. Lots of domestic disputes and problems alleged with his wife. Lots to talk about there. Then you've got Judge Janet Protasiewicz, longtime judge from Milwaukee area. Done a great job. Believes that we should have an opportunity to bring a trial to the state Supreme Court to look at these gerrymandered maps. If you care about the maps, if you're sick and tired of politicians picking the voters instead of voters picking the politicians, and you want to see a trial at the Supreme Court with a fair judge, Judge Janet Protasiewicz is your person. Also, if you are a woman or you know a woman and you think that if, God forbid, she should be raped and she should have good medical care and abortion should be one of the options that she and or her family have, then you need to vote for somebody like Janet Protasiewicz, who believes that that case should be over. Because right now, if you have a teenage daughter that gets raped, God forbid, she has to carry that child to term in Wisconsin. That's the law since the overturning of Roe v. Wade. If you disagree with that, if you think that in cases of rape, incest, or endangerment on the mother's life, the woman should have the option to have an abortion legally and safely, then Judge Janet Protasiewicz is your person. So there you go. Protasiewicz and Mitchell are your progressives. Darrow and Kelly are your conservatives. Only vote for one. All right? Just vote for one of them. If you vote for two, the technical term is called spoiling your ballot. It means it's no good. So don't do that. Regardless, we want everybody to vote. Clearly, I think that one of the progressives would be better. I think that Judge Janet Protasiewicz is the most qualified. But whoever you want to go vote for today, do so and make sure that your vote counts. Because at the end of the day, that's what I'm most passionate about is fair and free representative democracy. And that means everybody gets to vote, even those people that you don't agree with. And I want their vote to count too. We want it to be a good, free, and fair, and safe election. Polls are open until 8 o'clock today. Make sure you bring along a valid driver's license or state ID, or bring along a valid U.S. passport or military ID. Also works. Take those with the polls for you with you today. Polls are open till 8 p.m. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit about this morning. Speaking of voting, and we've talked about it on this program here in Wisconsin, this whole issue of trying to keep people from voting, people that we don't like. I just said, even if you're going to vote for one of the conservatives today, I want you to go vote. I want to see high percentage of turnout today, even if you don't agree with me, because that means that our system's working. That means representative democracy is working, all right? The problem is we've got this state in Wisconsin where the Republican Party who is trying to stifle voting. And the same thing is happening in Texas. We'll tell you what, where, when, and why, and how after this. Stay with us. You're on the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Song. Keep playing with it.
All my exes live in Texas. And that's why I hang my hat in Tennessee.
That's fantastic. 8:15 this morning, the Todd Allball Show. Welcome back to Civic Media. Actually, one of my exes do live in Texas. We never do. We're only roommates, though. Yes, my former roommate, Alex. Great guy. And let me make this clear before we do this story. This story has nothing to do with the good people of Texas, you understand? People like my friend Alex and his lovely wife, Kristen, and all kinds of other lovely people.
I also have an ex-roommate in Texas.
Really?
Yeah.
So our exes do live in Texas. But they're fantastic. I love Texans. Nothing wrong. I love going to Texas. I love everything. You know, not everything, but I love a lot of things about Texas. But here we have this morning a story on a Texas bill that would end voting on college campuses. But before we get to that, actually I have some breaking news this morning. This via the CBS News wires of Channel 3000 here in Madison News 3. And very unfortunate this morning. Brooklyn's a village here in Dane County here in southern Wisconsin. The polling place has been moved due to a public safety threat. So the village of Brooklyn moved its polling place this morning due to what officials are calling an ongoing public safety threat. Instead of going to the community building on North Rutland Avenue, voters should now go to the village public works building at 102 Windy Lane. Dane County Clerk Scott McDonald said village officials will request a court order to extend voting hours for those who are denied because of the move. Officials hope to have the new polling place set up and operating by 9:30 this morning. So very, very unfortunate news. And this is the kind of stuff I'm talking about, you guys, is we want everybody to vote. All right. I certainly have preferences of which candidates I hope win tonight. I'm sure that you do, too. And they may be different than what I believe. And that's okay. The important thing is to have free, fair, open, and safe elections in this state and this country, because that's the only way that democracy works. And here in Brooklyn, the village of Brooklyn in Dane County, we have a public safety threat. We don't know yet. Officials aren't telling us what kind of a threat was made, but clearly serious enough that they're having to move the entire polling place in the village of Brooklyn. I've been to Brooklyn. It's not a huge area, so, you know, it's not like people have to travel a long ways, but But think about it. If you're used to voting in a place and you show up and it's closed, I'm sure they'll probably have signs of not a police officer there directing people to the current polling location. But think about that. They've had to close it down. So here we are at 10 minutes, or a little under 10 minutes to 9. If people are planning on going and voting this morning before they go to work at 9, they can't do it. Maybe they don't have an opportunity to vote after work. So now they don't get to vote. As I said on the story here, hopefully going to extend voting hours in the village of Brooklyn tonight. Wouldn't that be something? If the race came down to a handful of votes tonight on one of these Supreme Court justices and we were waiting for Brooklyn to come in tonight at 9:30. But this is the point. We can't be having threats. We can't be having threats of violence or actual violence or intimidation at the voting booth. I don't care which side you're on. We want to have, and the people that run these elections locally, I've talked about this before. My fantastic mom, after she retired as a kindergarten teacher, spent many years as a poll worker. I've known a lot of other great people in the Richland Center community that are poll workers, most of whom, or many of whom, are retired. They're retired school teachers. They're retired people that worked in churches. Retired city workers.
They're just incredibly patient people, too, yes. As they have to be, to sit there for hours and be like, no, we need this kind of information for you. Like, we can help you, but, you know.
And that's a great point, Aaron. You don't just show up and sit behind the desk and, you know, drink coffee and say thanks for voting. There are very specific rules that poll workers have to follow. And they have to go through classes and briefings and updates on how you do this. There are very specific ways that the votes are tabulated and reported and double-checked. The chance for error at these polling places is very low. And again, I'm someone who sat through and represented a sheriff's candidate in Shawnee County in a hand recount. And the outcome didn't change. I think there was a total of 30-some ballots that was a difference after the recount of several thousand. So the lengths that people go through locally to make sure that we have free and fair elections is incredible. And in my opinion, poll workers ought to be paid more. Because it's getting harder to recruit people to work at polling places. It already was hard. And now you add in things like that are happening this morning here in Brooklyn, the village of Brooklyn in Dane County, where the threat is so high and apparently credible enough that authorities are having to move the polling place in the village of Brooklyn out of fear of safety. There is no room for that kind of activity in a functioning democracy in Wisconsin or anywhere else. I don't care if you disagree with me on to who you vote for. You should have the opportunity to feel safe and comfortable casting your vote at the ballot booth, regardless whether you agree with me on who we're voting for. I will defend your right to vote, even though you're voting for someone else. We shouldn't have people with open carry weapons standing there bullying people at the polls. These should be free and fair elections where people, everyone, feels free to vote. And this just angers me even more. Get out and vote. Don't let these people intimidate us. Cast your ballot. I get it. It's only one voting location in a small town village in Wisconsin, in Brooklyn, where they're having to do this today. A threat of violence report this morning from channel3000.com here in Madison, that they're having to change the polling location in Brooklyn, Wisconsin, the village, because of threats of, well, I'm not going to say violence because the story didn't say that, simply threats, but I'm assuming some kind of violence. Otherwise, they wouldn't have moved it basically to the city hall where the police are. There's no room for that. And here we have a story this morning, courtesy of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Says a freshman Texas lawmaker is proposing that college campuses could no longer be used as voting places during elections. Representative Carrie Isaac, a Republican from Hayes County, south of Austin, filed the bill on Thursday to prohibit polling places at higher education instructions in Texas. The legislation would bar county commissioners from designating voting sites at college or universities starting September 1st. Not wanting college kids to vote? Come on now. The Texas college kids are some of the best around. I'll fight for that. Come on back now. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. But I'm alive.